Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Hello, said the voice on the other end of the phone. Are you Clarence's mother? Well, no, replied Mrs. Cummings hesitantly. But he does live here. May I help you? He forgot to bring back his permission slip for our class trip signed by a parent or guardian, and I was just wondering if we could fax it to his mom so he can go, explained the teacher. Oh, dear, Mrs. Cummins sat down heavily. Couldn't I sign it for you? His mom's not exactly available, and he doesn't have a legal guardian, but he does live with me. I'm his grandmother. For the more than 2.5 million U.S. families headed by grandparents, what can be done to help? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today, we are fortunate to have two guests with us who are experts in this field. Nancy Sandler is a licensed clinical social worker at the Jewish Social Service Agency in Gaithersburg, Maryland. She has studied the field of kinship care and works with youngsters individually and in groups. Several are currently being raised by grandparents. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Nancy.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Faith Dornbrand is an attorney practicing family law in Washington, D.C. She is currently the president of the D.C. chapter of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers and has been ranked by Washingtonian Magazine as one of the best trial lawyers in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. A single parent, Faith is raising two teenage sons. We're glad to have you with us, Faith.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Nancy, what kinds of people are out there raising their grandchildren? What are the biggest issues you see with children being raised by their grandparents?
Well, I must say there's a very diverse population of grandparents out there raising their grandchildren. Just to look at my clients, I have grandparents from diverse socioeconomic backgrounds as well as ethnic backgrounds, different situations that brought them into raising their grandchildren. And I think some of the most difficult things are just the generation gap at times, some of the special needs of these kids that maybe weren't special needs when they were raising their own children. Society is different, more stressors, different kinds of stressors.
Could you elaborate a little bit and give us an example or two of specific kinds of people?
Well, I worked with a grandmother last year who was widowed, and so she was a single grandmother raising actually her second set of grandchildren. She had raised five children, and one of those children was in a situation where she ended up needing to raise the first set of grandchildren and then went on, unfortunately, due to some awful circumstances, to raise her second set of grandchildren. And all three of those grandchildren had a lot of needs, special needs, and it was a very difficult situation, but she was very inspirational to me. And actually, probably because of her, I started kind of getting interested more in this topic and wanting to work more with grandparents.
Faith, what kinds of legal issues are likely to arise in these situations?
One of the interesting facts is that most grandparents don't plan on raising their grandchildren. So you have to look at the situations in which the grandchildren end up being in their households. Many of those situations are very difficult situations and present legal issues. For example, people that I've worked with, I worked with one grandmother whose daughter had substance abuse problems. For that reason, the daughter was pretty incompetent to take care of the child. In that particular case, the grandmother that I represented actually had a custody battle with her own daughter. The daughter was not really capable of understanding the needs of the child, given her impaired condition, which would recur frequently. And the grandmother had to fight to get the right to raise the grandchild to give her a stable environment. Other situations I've seen are situations where there's mental illness of the parents, and the grandparents try to step in and provide a stable environment. But the issue then is whether they are raising the grandchildren with the consent of the parents of the children or not. And at some point, they have to clarify their legal standing to enroll the children in schools, for example, to provide, to get medical care for the children. Even traveling with the children may present certain issues if they're not the natural parent. So there are different legal processes that they may explore at various points in time to try to decide how they need to or what steps should be taken to clarify their relationship with the grandchildren.
Why and how would a grandparent get the legal right to raise a grandchild?
If a parent is incompetent because of substance abuse, mental illness, It could be a situation where the parents have died, have been in an accident, or have medical problems and cannot raise the children themselves. I suppose there can be circumstances where a parent has to take a short-term overseas assignment, doesn't want to relocate all the children in the family, and so would want to entrust the children with a grandparent or a family member for a relatively short period of time. There are also situations just economically where the parents have to be working and can't afford childcare and end up using the grandparents, in essence, as live-in providers of childcare.
But in a situation like that, or in a short-term kind of thing where the parents are overseas, does that mean they have to have some kind of legal guardianship if they're just taking care of them for the day or taking care of them for 6 months?
Yeah, I'm a little confused, too, about, I know situations where grandparents are raising grandchildren without any kind of legal documentation that they might need at some point, but why would they need it?
Well, it's going to depend on your locality. And the degree of formality that is necessary is going to depend on where you live and what you're trying to do with the grandchild.
So it's all really local laws and local rules. There's not a national umbrella kind of thing.
That's true. Each state has its own set of adoption laws if you're looking at adoption. Each state has its own set of guardianship laws if you're looking at guardianship.
How do parents or grandparents find out about these laws if they're not into the legal profession? Or does it mean everybody needs to get a lawyer?
Of course the world would be a better place if everyone got a lawyer.
I knew that was the answer.
We understand that. We have lawyers in our families.
There are many situations, I think, where you can work with the school system or the doctor's offices themselves will assist in providing what you need to have decision-making for the child in a particular situation. For example, in D.C., we have a medical power of attorney. So you can have a parent sign a simple document to the grandparent that gives the grandparent the power to bring the child to a doctor and make medical decisions. I'm sure different school boards can advise people of what they need from parents in terms of enrolling the children in that particular school district. And I'm sure that the requirements of a school district are different in different areas of the country, and rural versus urban areas, with the urban areas probably being much more formal in needing appropriate documentation. So to go back to your original question, probably many people end up raising their grandchildren or assisting children to raise their children without having to go through formal legal processes. But there are a number of situations where people do have to go through formal legal processes, and in that situation, obviously, you need help from a lawyer.
So it sounds like if you're getting into this, you need to find out from the school board or from whatever the agencies are what the laws are so that you don't get a nice surprise, like this little story at the beginning.
That would be a good way to start and probably the cheapest way to figure out what you have to do to address particular situations.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on grandparents raising their grandchildren.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Faith Dornbrand and Nancy Sandler about issues involved when grandparents are raising their grandchildren. Nancy, what kinds of services are there for grandparents to take advantage of in raising their grandchildren? Obviously, you provide one very important one.
Well, I do. And as I mentioned before, I've just been lucky that I've ended up working with a number of families in the situation. What I would recommend for most people is to go and look up their local social service agency for the county or the state that they live in and ask for referrals. I happen to work for Jewish Social Services here in the metropolitan Maryland, D.C. area, and I'm offering a support group for grandparents. I'm going to be starting that because I see that there's a need, and I think grandparents have some specific issues that are a little bit different than for biological parents raising their children. And I believe there are other things like that going on in the country as well. So I would start with your local social service agency. Yeah.
Okay. Do you see loneliness as a real issue? I can imagine when people are raising their children, there are a bunch of people raising their children, so you can get a cohort of people who are the same age in the same stage. But I can imagine, even though there are all these zillions of people raising grandchildren, it would seem to me that there might be an isolation factor.
Sure. I imagine that may be true. In the clients that I've worked with, what I see is a lot of spiritual faith, and that helps them a lot. I don't know if that's just specific to my clients. I realize not everybody is religious, but it seems to really carry them through and give a lot of these grandparents some understanding, especially if the circumstances that they've come to raising their grandchildren have been difficult. It often is really difficult sometimes when the biological parents are still involved in the situation. Where does the grandparent, you know, overstep their bounds, even though that they're actually raising the grandchildren, but the grandchildren may want to see the biological parents? So there are still those kinds of issues too, and they need to be able to talk about that in a forum with other people that are also going through the same things.
Mm-hmm. I would think we've read about faith communities all over the country that have been very supportive of grandparents taking on this kind of role.
Mm-hmm. Sandy, one thing I noticed when I went online is there are a couple of websites with support groups through the internet specifically focused on grandparents raising grandchildren. And some of the sites that I found that look like they have a myriad of resources and interaction between grandparents who are all in that position and who need support from each other include the AARP has a website, www.aarp.org. And if you go into their lifestyle setting on that website, they have a whole section on grandparents raising grandchildren, where to find help.
Who would have thought?
It's wonderful.
10 years ago AARP would have this. That's fabulous.
And they also have a series of links on their site that get you to other sites. One of the more interesting ones when I checked this out was a site called www.grandsplace, as in grandparent, grandsplace.com, which is focused on grandparents raising grandchildren. And it's even got a prayer page on that site.
Sounds like an appropriate start.
But I was fascinated by these sites. They have references for legal resources, for chat rooms, and all kinds of help. The other thing that I noticed that they have on these pages is a lot of help in grandparents getting information about special education needs of children. Because if you think about how a lot of these children come to be raised by grandparents, in the situations that I cited, such as I've worked with clients where they have children who are impaired because of some sort of drug addiction or alcohol addiction, sometimes you probably have a higher percentage of children who are born having had some exposure to drugs in the womb and definitely have special needs. So a lot of times grandparents find themselves raising a particularly difficult and needy group of children.
Which makes an already difficult situation that much more difficult.
That much more stressful.
Yeah. Nancy, did you want to give a telephone number in case people would like to call you in the Washington metropolitan area?
Sure. I can be reached at 301-990-6880 and just say that you're looking for information about the grandparent support group, and I'll be happy to speak with you.
You need to probably repeat that unless people have pencils in their hands.
Okay, I'll do it again. It's 301-990-6880, and just ask for me, and I'll be happy to give you some information or send you out some information. It will be free also, by the way.
Thank you. Faith, what are some ways that parents can plan ahead for somebody else maybe having to take over custody of their children? And what happens if they can't plan?
People can plan ahead in traditional ways. For example, when you write a will, you typically designate in your will who you would like to be the guardian of your children in the event that both parents die. That's a very standard way of thinking ahead for the care of your children. If someone has a history of medical problems, they can frequently do some sort of a power of attorney to at least give a grandparent certain limited areas of authority in the event of their disability. Most of the situations in which grandparents end up taking care of their grandchildren, I suspect, are unplanned, other than situations where the children are working and are using the grandparents as child care. where the grandparents are really in control of raising the children, it probably comes as an unplanned event. And unfortunately, an unplanned event is just that, and they have to scramble around and find legal resources, social services, mm-hmm. and other resources at that point that they hadn't expected to find. And that's where these websites would be enormously useful, I would think.
I was going to make a comment about what you were saying. Two of my clients, one, the mother, the biological mother of the child, was mentally ill, and that was the reason that the grandmother and grandfather came to raising their granddaughter, and the other one was due to a drug addiction, and eventually the parent passed away.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on grandparents raising their grandchildren.
For an audio cassette copy of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Faith Dornbrand and Nancy Sandler about issues involved when grandparents are raising their grandchildren.
We talked about how the grandparents' lives have changed when they become surrogate parents. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that they need as support? We talked about loneliness a little bit. There must be a bunch of things that they really need that we need to sort of remember.
Well, I think it's important for the grandparents to have as large of a support system as they can, whether it's friends or their church or other social groups that they may belong to. And I think, you know, many grandparents think they're in retirement or will be, and then they end up being parents again. And so I think it's important for them to still have respite, as all parents need, but maybe grandparents a little bit more, for somebody that's a friend or whatever to offer to take the kids so the grandparents can have some time. And I just think a community support system really helps a lot.
What about the role of the school in all this?
You know, I've been very fortunate. I've actually dealt with the school with grandparents a couple times. I've been to some meetings, and they've been really wonderful. Now, legally, the grandparents that I've been involved with are recognized as either guardians or as foster parents to the kids. They just happen to be family foster parents and biological. And so there's not been any issues where I'm concerned, but I'm sure that there are times, and maybe Faith can speak more to that, where the schools or doctors, things of that nature, where it's more of an issue and you need the legal documentation.
Faith, what roadblocks does our society put in the way for people like those that Nancy is working with? What kinds of issues do we need legal authority for? Where could you get in trouble if you don't have legal authority in a situation like these?
You need usually some legal authority to, say, enroll a child in school, to get medical care for a child.
At a doctor's office or at a hospital or both?
Well, both, although I would assume probably many doctors are much looser about that because they're used to daycare providers, et cetera, bringing children to doctor's offices. But certainly at a hospital, in terms of signing for child, authorizing medical care, and authorizing payment. You know, there are also economic issues that get involved when you're raising grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the legal status that you have vis-a-vis the grandchild can affect the economics of the situation. So, for example, if you have custody of a child, you may have the right to sue the parents for child support or receive child support from the parents if they're able to provide it. There may be some instances when you can qualify for public assistance. There are some instances where children in our society, most states now have a program where children being raised in families under a certain economic level can qualify for health insurance if the parents don't otherwise have the children covered on health insurance.
Is it a state-run health insurance, or it's just your normal whatever company, or how does that work?
My understanding of it is it's a federally mandated program. Each state has set it up in its own way, and some of the websites that I mentioned actually have, I saw at one point, a state-by-state map where you can go in, click on your state, and find the contact person to call to see if you're eligible for getting the grandchild that you're raising in your household on some sort of a health plan.
That's a major thing.
I wouldn't have even thought of. Yeah.
Especially with grandparents thinking that now everything's covered by Medicare, and then they have this kid who's absolutely not covered by Medicare.
Right.
So that's a huge thing. And then I guess just grocery bills and dental bills and all kinds of things, clothing, school supplies. So
kids are not cheap.
You can't just walk into a hospital and sign your name and assume that there won't be any question about who this child is in relation to you. If a child is in an accident or something and you're the grandparent, you really do need some kind of authority.
That's why all us parents, whenever we go to those soccer matches, always have to sign the forms ahead of time, authorizing someone to go get emergency child care for our kids.
Is this the kind of thing where parents, if they're leaving their child at the home of somebody else, or parents who are leaving their child in the grandparents' home every Tuesday or every Thursday or something, need to have a legal document, or can they write on a piece of paper, I give permission to, blah, blah? How does that stand up?
It doesn't hurt to have something in writing. When I leave my kids with a friend for a weekend, I always do a power of attorney, a medical power of attorney, specifically authorizing them to obtain medical care for my kids in the event I can't be reached, and I always sign it and have it notarized.
Oh, it has to be notarized. So in other words, if we just write out a nice little note and sign it and date it, that's
Sandy, that would depend on each jurisdiction, what the requirements would be, and it would depend on the different doctors and hospitals, how formal it had to be.
When our kids were little, we used to get copies of a form from a local hospital. It wasn't necessarily for just that hospital, but it was a form that we always had filled out for whoever our children were staying with.
Nancy, are there some specific challenges that we haven't talked about for grandparents raising a child two generations removed? You talked a little bit about special ed. That wasn't around.
Right.
Are there some other things that we haven't mentioned yet that need to be dealt with?
Well, I think the generation gap, for one thing. It's hard sometimes for the, especially when you're dealing with adolescents, to deal with their grandparents and vice versa. But I think a willingness to keep an open line of communication and for the grandparents not to be maybe too rigid, as we all tend to get, I think, as we age, we get a little bit more inflexible. And a lot of love. I think there's a lot of wisdom that can be gained from having a grandparent raising their children. In our society, we don't really respect elders like many other cultures do. And I think if you can kind of look at the positives and that open line of communication, that's where hopefully an agency like mine, where we can help support the family with therapy, support groups, that sort of thing, can help keep that line of communication open or educate the parties involved in speaking more freely to one another, that can really help a lot.
And I guess because the kind of help that you provide was not as common two generations ago, grandparents need to feel that they can take part in something like that without feeling that it casts aspersions on what they're doing, that they're not good enough to do it by themselves.
Definitely. And also even just the stigma that for many people who are senior citizens have around getting therapy, asking for help. It wasn't something that was done, I'm sure, when they were growing up, even maybe raising their own children, it wasn't done. So helping to maybe even, you know, tear that down and help them to know that there are supports out there and that it is okay to discuss your problems or whatever with outsiders and ask for that help.
Nancy, what can non-custodial adults do to help these children?
Well, I was thinking about what kinds of things, and I think really a lot of grandparents need some respite.
We dealt with one grandmother who said she just needed a babysitter to go to the movies.
Right.
She couldn't remember the last time they could do that.
In reverse, it's also very hard for the children who still have these ties to their biological parents, and that can create a lot of stress.
Would you say that it's as important for these children to get help and counseling and support as it is for the grandparents?
Definitely.
Someone once said that the grandparents' role is really just to give unconditional love, and when they get robbed of that and then they have to be a parent, it puts them in a totally different situation.
Sure.
So they're sort of trying to sandwich both roles together.
Where they get gypped out of the grandparenting role.
The doting, spoiling.
Right. Can't do that.
One of the things we're always advising people is to not only think of your rights, but think of what the children's needs are, and conflict between family members is generally not very good for kids.
Are there other resources that either of you would like to suggest that grandparents could consult in facing the issues that we've been talking about?
Well, your local library. And there certainly are a number of books that are out. Grandparents Raising Grandchildren, A Guide to Finding Help and Hope by a woman named Marianne Takas. And there's another one, Contemporary Grandparenting by Arthur Kornhaber. And I think you can get online and look at various websites, which Faith mentioned before. And there's definitely a lot of help out there for people.
Our special thanks to both of you, Nancy Sandler and Faith Dornbrand, for helping us sort out the many issues involved when grandparents are raising their grandchildren. Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. And let us know what station you're listening to. We're now across the country, but also all over the world. So we'd like to know what station you're tuning in from. We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors. Parents as Mentors is available at all major bookstores and on the web. For an audio cassette copy of any Parents Perspective show, just send a $5 check or money order to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. That's P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
You can reach Parents Perspective through your local station or call our toll-free number, 1-800-791-8573. You can also email us at parentspr@aol.com. That's parentspr@aol.com. To learn more about us and our book, Parents as Mentors, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. It's a shortcut address, no W's. http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.